I was built. It was my doom till I met you. I was breathing. Sing it out. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my doom till I met you. Let's sing it nice and loud tonight. You called my name. Come on. And I read that grave. Yeah. Out of the darkness into glorious day. You called my name. And I read out of that grave. Out of darkness into a glorious day. So worthy. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Do you believe it? Come on. Now your freedom is all that I know. Sing it from your testimony right now. Come on. The old made new. Come on. Jesus, when I met you, yeah, you called my name. And I ran out of that grave. Oh, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. One of my favorite things about this song is that it lets us stick our story into it. Our testimonies, our stories of God stepping in, saying He's not finished with us yet. And at the crux of it, this cross, this Jesus. Who believes in the freedom that Jesus offers tonight? Amen? Come on. So as we sing this, I want you to think in your heart, think in your mind. Think about when you first felt Him. First heard His voice, and let these words just come from your heart. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. When you call my name, come on! I am out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness. Into your glorious day. Yeah. Come on, can we give some hands to Jesus this night? Some praise, some glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Welcome. Welcome, family camp. We're here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matthew York. I'm a pastor with the Alliance. I'm out in Chester County. I have the distinct privilege of being the church closest to Shady Maple. So, right? So, that's a good thing. When I asked why they wanted me to come back, they said, we just need somebody to stand in the front row that we could see over. So, thanks, Jen. All right. Anyway, I have some announcements I'm going to go through here. I want to go through. Matthew, you got those up for me? I think you do. Great. All right. First thing, there's a T-shirt. So please be aware if you want to see. I think Jen's rocking it. Jen, where are you? I know you're. Jen's rocking the T-shirt right there. That's the new Family Camp T-shirt. Woo-hoo! Oh, I wanted to try something before we get into more announcements. So Jonathan Weibel, Jonathan, back there. Hi, Jonathan. So he's our speaker tonight. He's at camp, right? I said, yeah. He goes, well, why is everybody sitting apart like they're not a family? So if you are willing, can I fill this area right here? Can I get people to, like, literally come move now, fill this area right here? So come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on. We're a big family here. Right? This is family camp. We got this big gap here. So we want to fill it in. Thank you. Right? Yeah. Come on down. That's it. Price is right. Come on down. So, by the way, Jonathan, I'll get into Jonathan in a minute, but his whole front yard mission is about bringing people closer. And so what better way to illustrate that by just seeing some gaps that we have? So great. So let's keep going. All right. T-shirt, $20. You can get that at the Snack Shack. Oh, speaking of the Snack Shack, they got some new items this year. They got mango slushies, right? I'm looking forward to that. Matt, if you can go to the next one, you'll see that there is a QR code for, there's a GroupMe so that you can stay connected to what's going on in the youth ministry. Zach, where are you? Zach, can you stand up real quick? Zach's our youth leader. Woo! So he's going to be leading our youth here. So, Zach, thanks for what you do. We appreciate all that you invest into our kids. Thank you so much. All right, moving on. We have exciting family activities coming up. We have exercise, water balloon, and blind volleyball. Zach, anything we need to know about that?
Just bring a towel and wear your bathing suit.
Bring a towel and wear your bathing suit. Okay. Wednesday is the cornhole tournament. And can I just say there are some reigning champs returning this year. Right? Mathen and Matthew York are Summit Grove champions from last year. I've come. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nobody else cares, but thank you. Thank you. So we brought, we have a belt that we brought. Anyway. All right. The big event, though, we have all this happening throughout the week. Then we have our, which has been an absolute knockout event. We have our wiffle ball game with adults versus the kids coming up on Friday. Even if you don't attend, it's a bloodbath. It is so much fun. It is cutthroat. So, right? Where's Glenn? Right, Glenn? Right? Glenn, let me hear your. Let me hear it. Yeah. There you go. That's it. Yeah, get him out. All right. Ladies' luncheon. We'll calm it down. Ladies' luncheon is coming up. Please be aware that's coming at Wednesday at 11:30. I think Sue will be there. Sue. Hi, Sue. We have the Danikers here. Hi, Sue. Annette, it's good to see you. We are so glad you're here. We're looking forward to everything that you're going to share about what you've seen and looking forward to it with you. Please be aware we have a communion service coming out on Thursday. I am looking for, if you're going to be here on Thursday, I'm looking for some elders of some churches and some pastors. Come see me if you like to help me station on some of the healing stations. So I would love for you to help with that. It has been such a meaningful event, and I hope you can be a part of that. So please see me if you can help anointing with oil and praying for people. Please be aware, if you want to give to Summit Grove, there's a QR code that you can give. We have been so blessed by your generosity year upon year upon year, and we're so thankful for your giving. Jeff will speak into that just a little bit. Water activities coming up. It's going to be Sunday through Friday. There is a giant water slide. Did you see this thing? Yeah. There is. Okay. So there are a couple rules. There are a couple rules with the water slide. So if you could just help us keep some stability on that water slide. So you're only supposed to have one person up on each side of the water slide. And so that way nobody's getting hurt. If you're seeing a York boy doing something he shouldn't, feel free to yell at them in Hebrew. They'll understand it, right? Being a PK. But seriously, if you can help, just make sure the kids are safe. If you're up there with your kids, that would be the best. But just make sure that
We don't want to take it away or see kids get hurt. It's just, but it's going to be a great time. But anyway, water activities are happening 2:30 to 4:30 every day. Morning prayer will meet over here at 7:30 in the morning. If you'd like to join us, I'll be leading that. And I look forward to just starting the morning off right. It's a half hour before breakfast. So come join us right here in these pews over here, 7:30 in each morning. Okay, so this is the big one. Matthew, go to the next one. So I've been asked to implore, to ask from all of my heart. In fact, Jen said, I have to get down on my hands and knees and beg you for children ministry volunteers to help us Tuesday and Thursday. So I need, we need children ministry volunteers. We need them. Jen, am I selling this right? Thank you. Okay. We need Tuesdays and Thursdays. We need children. So if you have your clearances in the children's ministry area during the time of the Bible hour and of the International Worker Speaker Tuesday and Thursday, you would be our greatest hero and you would be amazing. And we'll build a shrine or bury you next to Tozer. I'm not sure, but we'll do something. We'll do something. All right. Oh, Ohio's a nice place. Anyway, all right. Okay. All right, moving on. Snack Shack, see that right there? These are the operating hours of the Snack Shack. They got sundaes, they got slushies, they got snacks. And just if you see Michael York there, just try to do your best and make sure he doesn't get cavities. I really appreciate that. All right, Ira Towns is here, and he's good. Yes, Mid-Atlantic DS. Ira, are you here? Ira, how you doing? Ira, anything that you can share what we're going to be learning this week in our Bible hour? I love it. So come on out, morning Bible hour. Jonathan Weibel is here, and we're looking forward to the word you're bringing, Jonathan. He's with Front Yard Mission. He's going to share what it's like to be a good neighbor, and I can't wait to hear how you're going to bring that good news. I've heard him speak, and he's all about bringing the community together, bringing people closer together, and how we are called to have our impact right next door. Thank you, Jonathan, for what you do. I'm looking forward to you bringing the word. Please be aware, coming up on Wednesday, Matt York is getting fired because the big man's coming to town, and when he realizes that I've been ordained by the Christian Missionary Alliance, I'm getting fired. So Jonathan Schaefer's coming here, the 13th president of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We get a chance to just hear about his heartbeat. He's just fantastic. I'm looking forward to hearing what he's going to share. But Pink Slip Wednesday, remember. All right. Our international workers are coming here. Ed and Sue, we're so glad you're here. We love you. We'll have Jordan Heather Irvin from a place I can't share. I think we're recording. Is that correct? Okay, so I can't share where they're from. They're from Bayside. So if you know Bayside, that's where they are. And then Friday's Jeff Bean. So please come out and join us for what is going to be an amazing time. Let me see. Where's our CMAers out there? Where are my CMA? Christian and Missionary Alliance folk? Where are you? CMA is? Not the country musical. Are you serious? If Faith, if Faith Hill was up here, you'd probably come up. Like CMA, Christian and Missionary Alliance. All right. So we should care about mission. Amen? Amen. Amen. So come out and hear the work that is happening overseas through the work of people like the Danikers, Jeff Bean, and of course Jordan and Heather Irvin. Please. A.B. Simpson cared about it in 1887, people. All right, anyway. That's it. And then I want to make sure, Matthew, go two over to the thrift store. Please be aware that you can go treasure hunting. You can go treasure hunting. And also, if you want to go home with less stuff, you can bring stuff from your own camper into these things. And you can donate to the thrift store. But please be aware, two locations, go treasure hunting and have a great time. That is the end of our announcements. Woo! So, do me a favor. I'm looking forward to a great week, but I want to welcome Eric back up to lead us. And thank you so much for being here. We're so grateful to have you. Eric is from Daybreak Church. You got some groupies here. Great. Brother, thank you so much for leading us. I'll turn it over to you.
All right, I'm going to invite you to stand again. Let's stand together. I just want to preface this week. I've been As I've been just praying, planning, pausing to just think about coming out here and spending time with all of you, not knowing many of you, just this word of space. The spaces that you'll be sharing throughout the week here with people, with family, friends, with people from other churches. Having fun, sharing joy, breaking bread, meals together. Just the intentionality in what Jesus is doing here and how he's trying to press in with each and every one of us. You see, Romans 12:1 says, give your minds as a living sacrifice pleasing to God. Do not conform to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through Jesus. Worship, true worship, brings transformation. This space, corporately and individually, the conscious space of choosing Jesus and pursuing him does something. So I want you to say something along with me right now. I want you to say heart. Let's try that again. Heart. Head. Jesus. See, when we put our heart's affection and our mind's attention on who God is and what he has done, we come to a space of worship. So throughout this next week, no matter if you're taking a walk, riding a bike, playing a game, getting in a holy spike and driving it down into somebody's face, maybe, let the Lord meet you in these spaces. Heart, head, Jesus. Let's continue to worship. Declare, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. But I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus. And he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation. Come on, sing it out. The rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. No, no. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't fail. It rained, came, went, blew, but my house was built on you. And I'm safe with you, and I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. And I'm safe with you, and I'm gonna make it through. Rain. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. Faithful through generations, so why would He fail now? He won't. No, He won't. No, He won't fail. He won't fail. Believe that right now. He won't, no matter what season, He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. Lord, we love You. Yeah, let's give Him some thanks. Let's give Him some praise. Come on. We love You, Jesus. Would You hear our praise tonight, Lord, as a sweet sound as it rises to the heavens? As we lift these words declaring who You are and what You've done for us, going to a cross, saying, "It is finished, it is done." Victorious is Jesus. We sing that. There may even be seasons where we don't feel it, we don't see it. And we just need that affirmation from You, Lord. So would You speak in now? Speak what You need to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, move. Declare, 'cause You are way maker. confess, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Jesus, waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 Jesus, it's who you are. It's who you are today and forever. Here as in heaven. Here as in heaven. Holy Spirit, come. Fall on us. Even when I don't see it. Even when I can't feel, you're moving in power with purpose. Remind our hearts in this place. Remind my heart in this place. Even when I don't see it, your work. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Let's declare that in truth, come on. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Jesus, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are, and that is who you are, 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 that is who you are today. That is who you are. That's who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. That's who you are to us. Keep reminding us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.
Thank you, Eric, for leading us in worship. We look forward to the rest of the week and leading us into the throne room. So, first announcement is kids. There's kids program tonight. So if you want to go with Kaylee, she's standing in the back waving her hand. So kids, you can be dismissed for your program. All right, I forgot to introduce myself this morning. I'm Jeff Zarfoss, for those that don't know me. I'm the treasurer on the Family Camp Committee. Also serving as the interim director role here at Summit Grove Camp until we find a new one. So I just want to bring again the offering before us. Just a reminder, our goal for this week, if you weren't here this morning, is $17,000. So that's what we're trying to raise to pay the expenses of family camp. Again, thank you for faithful giving over the last several years. We've met our goal and exceeded it. And last year, thanking you for your early giving, that we met it on Thursday, so we only took one offering on Friday for our international workers. So that reminds me, Friday, there will be an offering for our international workers. If you're not going to be here Friday, if you write a check, you can just put international workers in the memo line, and we'll be sure that they get that. You can give checks and cash in the plate that's going to be coming up. Eastern PA District, if you make out a check. Cash, obviously, is all good. QR codes are posted around if you prefer to give online. Thank you for those that did. So it is working. Several have come in this morning, so we're starting to make way towards that 17,000 goal. We've got about 1,000 as of this morning, so we're 1/17th of the way there. So, again, thank you again for your faithful giving, and we're trusting God to meet our goal for again this year. So I'm going to pray for our offering, and the ushers, and we can take up the offering. So, Father, we do. We thank you for allowing this week. We thank you that we can be here to be part of this week as we learn and grow together as a body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to give back to you. Father, we thank you for those that are coming this week, and we pray that you will help us to meet the expenses that we have. It's such a great week, Lord. So, again, thank you for your faithfulness to us. So can we be faithful back to you in our giving. So, Father, again, bless this evening. Bless our time together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we go through this time of giving, I just pray these words will wash over you. Sit and take these words in, kneel, pray, maybe write something down. But let's let this prayer out together tonight. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see, I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see. to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Open my eyes. Open eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. To see you high. Your hand. Holy, 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 all praise. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. You are holy. You are holy, 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 Jesus. Holy, 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 only God. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you, see you high and shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining my heart, Lord. ask Him, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. We want it. I want to see You. One last time, open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That's what we want, Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. It's our prayer tonight, Lord. What can hear to be so simple can sometimes feel so deep and complicated. It can sometimes feel so distant. But You're right there. You're right there, Jesus. And we want to see You sitting on the throne next to the Father on high in all of Your glory. Because You are holy. You are holy over all. And we worship You. And we feel Your Holy Spirit. And You are holy, Jesus. You are holy, holy, holy.
Give Erica, thank You. Thank You. But let's give the praise to God. Let's give glory to God. Amen. We are so blessed to have Jonathan Weibel with us here tonight. Jonathan, would you come up, please? Jonathan's been part of the Eastern Pennsylvania District team for quite some time now. Too long. You've planted 3 churches here in the Alliance. You are a comedian. State College native, is that correct? You live there?
That's correct.
That's right. So we are. There you go. So, Jonathan, you're with Front Yard Mission, and so I'm looking forward to hearing how you're going to show us how we are called to be everyday disciple makers. So I'm looking forward to it. So please, would you please bring us the word?
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
I feel like Matt is, like, super cool because he holds the microphone down here when he talks. But I just want to warn the sound guy, that's not me. I'm not super cool. I'm going to be right here. So you're going to want to turn that down. See how they like that, Matt? Learn from me. Let me disciple you on how to use a microphone. Good to see you, everybody. I noticed this place got vacant again, just lonely Eric up here. So thanks for doing that for us. You know, like when we meet, let's meet as a family and get together. I want to introduce myself to you, like the best way I know to kind of introduce my family to you. I'm from State College, PA, and in 2007, my wife and I, my wife's name is Susie, we adopted 2 girls who were 14 and 13, and they're half-sisters, and when we adopted them, they got assimilated into our church, and they were in our youth group. And one day, Rachel, our oldest daughter, brought home a 8-week-old kitten. And, you know, like, we're fostering them at this point, and we want to win them over. We want to, right or wrong, we want to make them love us. So when your foster kid brings a kitten home and asks, you know, this is what she said to me. She's like, "Father, I love this kitten. May I keep this kitten? I will care for it all the days of my life. I will nourish it. I will cherish it. I will change its litter box." They're from California, but I think of every orphan as from like 18th century London, selling matchbooks. But so, of course, you know, my wife and I knew the reality of this. We were going to be taking care of that cat. We knew that. And we said, sure, honey, you can have the cat. So her name was Gravy. And the second day that we had the cat got out. And we lived on, and we had these really tall trees, and the kitten climbed a 60-foot tree. And we didn't know what to do, right? Do you call the fire department, Matt? I don't know. Like, is that only in it's only in cartoons. That's what I thought. So we didn't know. So this is 2007, and our youngest daughter is Marie, and she's very, very smart and studious. And so she got on the internet. It was dial-up. She got on dial-up, and the internet was young, and she looked up on Ask Jeeves how to get a cat out of a tree. And she came out, and she told us, well, cats, if they fall from 30 feet or under, that's the kill zone for cats. But if they fall from 30 feet or higher, that's a better thing. It seemed not congruent to my brain that was true. And again, the internet was young, but we chose to believe her. So we didn't know what to do with this cat. We love this cat. My wife and I are both animal lovers. We have four Bernese Mountain Dogs. We love cats. And so we like, okay, the cat was up there for 24 hours meowing. So the next day we decided, what do we do here? And so, you know, again, if cats fall from 30 feet or higher, they're going to be okay because they're going to kind of, this is what we thought, it was going to catch air and kind of fly down. So I was a high school tennis coach, and I had a barrel of tennis balls. And we could not throw them up high enough to knock the cat out. So we were hitting tennis balls up at the cat. I hope no one from PETA is here. We wanted to, yeah, it was all out of love. And that wasn't working. So our daughter goes back in. She gets back on Ask Jeeves. And she said, so the internet says that if you can get the cat's litter box close enough to the cat will jump in the litter box. Like if you have a long pole and put the litter box on a pole. And so we had an extension ladder, and I duct taped the cat's litter box onto an extension pole. We had like a pole that would change like light bulbs and stuff at our cabin. So that's what I did. I duct taped it. And so we went outside. We put the ladder against the tree. And I'm afraid of heights. So my wife had to climb the 30-foot extension ladder with the pole, with the extension pole, with the litter box on top of it. And so she's climbing, and she says, Jonathan, if something bad happens, you have to catch the cat. I said, absolutely, honey. I will. Did we just turn up the volume a little bit? Did something happen? We good? Is this better? Better or worse? I feel like it's worse, actually. Everyone's saying no, boo. Who's our sound guy? No, I want names. Mike? Okay, that's a great name for a sound guy, Mike. That's perfect. That's perfect. If you could only learn how to mix one. I'm just kidding, Mike. I'm just kidding. I love you, Mike. I'm going to give you a donation. To your favorite cause. So my wife's climbing up the ladder with the pole and in the litter box, and she gets up there, and she gets it pretty close, like she's 10 feet away with the litter box. And like to our astoundment, is that a word? Our amazement, the little kitty jumps into the litter box, and we were like, that was awesome. Like within 10 seconds, the cat jumped in, and we were like all celebrating. Like it was awesome. It was really a family moment. But our celebration was short-lived because I had poorly duct taped the litter box onto the pole. And the litter box flipped and then ejected the cat. So now the cat is flying, and it's like, I got to be honest, it was beautiful. It caught air. It felt like it was floating, really, like floating down. Like it was like I was like in awe of it, and like, oh Lord, how majestic is your name? It was great, and the cat's coming down, and it's coming closer and closer to terra firma, and I remembered what my wife. Something goes horribly wrong. You have to catch the cat. So I love my wife. She's gorgeous, so I want to impress her. So I'm in the perfect position. I am right there to catch gravy. And I'm there, and it's getting closer and closer. And then I remember a really important fact. Kitty has claws. You're right. Kitty has claws. So at the last second, I went. And the cat made the worst sound I've ever heard, this deafening thud when it hit the ground. But honestly, it was like two really great days with that cat. We had a sweet time with that cat. It was good. Now the cat ended up being fine. It hosts a podcast now. It's doing great. Doing awesome. Hey, so a couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Front Yard Mission. It's how to start a love God, love neighbor movement in your neighborhood. And basically, it's from the passage from Matthew 22, 36 through 40. We're going to look at that tonight and a few other scriptures, and I'm going to share my heart behind it and what I call the theology of place. So we're going to do a little series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And by the way, I was at a church 2 months ago. This is really cool. For me, it's really cool. And they were doing a series, and they asked me to close out the series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And it was like in the Pittsburgh area. And so they asked me before I preached if I would lead the congregation in Mr. Rogers' Won't You Be My Neighbor? I'm like, cool. Like, yeah, so I kind of learned it like 15 minutes before. And then I got up there on this grand piano. And right before I got up there, the worship leader said, by the way, this is Mr. Rogers' old piano. We bought it from him. So I got to play his piano, maybe the piano he wrote Won't You Be My Neighbor on. And so that was cool. So that was a moment for me. So it's not funny. It's not relevant. But I just wanted to say that because I'm ADD. I think of things, I have to say it. So you'll get that from me a lot this week. So I'm really, really sorry. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Jesus told us the most important thing in life is to love God, love neighbor. Does anybody know how many commandments were in the Old Testament? Anybody have a guess? What are you saying? 613. Is that what you said? You can say you were wrong. It's fine. 613. This gentleman was really close. I don't even know if you said 613. Did you say 613? Okay. I don't know who I'm looking at. So it's Zach, right? So you graduated from Liberty. Of course you know that. Yeah, so did my youngest daughter who got on Ask Jeeves. She graduated from Liberty. Again, ADD, not relevant to anything. So sorry. 613 commands. There were 365 negative commands in the Old Testament. You know, thou shalt not, which makes a nice little calendar. And then the rest were positive commands, thou shalt. Some of them were like for nationality commands, some were cleansing commands, and many of them were moral commands, like what we think of when we think of the Ten Commandments. So there are 613 commands. All the law and all the prophets hang off these two commands. If you were a good Jew back in the day, back in Jesus' day, you tried to follow all 613 commands. That was hard. And if you were a good Jew, you followed what was called the Talmud as well, and the writings and laws that you had to follow if you were going to be a good Jew. And then if you were going to be a really good Jew, you had a rabbi that you would follow. And the rabbi had his set of teachings and laws and commandments that were beyond the 613 commands and beyond the Talmud. And he called these his yoke. They were the yoke of his teaching, right? That thing you put around oxen. That's kind of crazy. And if you think about it, that scripture in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, who I know many of you know this really well, it really kind of flips this a little bit for me. It gives me a different perspective to read the scripture. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, this is Jesus speaking, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Listen to this, Jesus says, take my yoke, right? Take my teaching upon you. And learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When I think of all the 613 commands in the Talmud and the rabbi's yoke, Jesus strips it all back down to two. Love God and love our neighbor. When my wife and I moved into our neighborhood in 2016, we began to evaluate our ministry at the same time. We had been successful church planters. I don't know why I'm air quoting that. We had planted three churches. It looked real successful. We had loved the church really well. And we'd loved lost people really well. But what we realized is we had not loved our neighbor well, those who were logistically right next to us. We read the scripture, and it kind of changed our trajectory for our ministry and for our life. Acts 17, 26 through 27. This is when Paul was preaching. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. I did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. The scriptures for us. And Paul says that God has marked out the boundaries and the times, the history that we should live in, so that men and women, children, might reach out to him and perhaps find him. God has strategically placed you where you are so that people might reach out to him and find him. It's not random, it's strategic. Think about where you live. It's a place where God has put you. Now, you might not live in a traditional neighborhood. I get that. You may live in an apartment, or you may live in the country where your closest neighbor is a cow. I get that. And like a good musician, sometimes we have to transpose. But neighbor means one who is nearby, one who is in your closest vicinity. I think of Front Yard Mission as this. What we do in our ministry is we help the church see their street as their mission field, their workplace as sacred, and the commonalities we have with other people as the front door to the church. And we'll unpack that a little bit this week together. But we were at this crossroads, and we began to see our roles differently. We had made the hard decision in 2020. We made the hard decision to leave the pastorate. I pastored a church that I planted called Center Church, and we loved the church, and it was a great church, still is a great church. And we decided to go full-time to try to catalyze a love God, love neighbor movement in the world. I believe you are called to live with purpose of place. He's placed you where you are on purpose. I don't know if you've thought about that a lot. My hope is that if you are living without much purpose, you'll begin to see your purpose as your street, your workplace, and your commonalities with others. It's called the theology of place. God has placed you where you are. So let's talk a little bit about how to live out a theology. First one is like really simple, right? The great commandment, simple. The first part is love God. You Christians are really good at the first commandment, but you're really good at the you're really bad at the second commandment. That was something a student said to me when I was writing the book, who I'd met on the campus of Penn State. He thought I was his professor. And I just asked him, are you a person of faith? And he said, no, but I appreciate what some of your faith leaders have said. And I said, like what? He said, like your Jesus, when he said, love God and love your neighbor. And I said, that's cool. I'm writing a book on that. Then he said, yeah, but can I tell you this? You're really good at the first part, but you're really bad at the second part. But it made me think, yeah, that's true. But it also made me go, actually, no. We are really bad at the first part. Because when we're good at the first part of having a relationship with Christ and loving Jesus, it actually flows out into our life. There's an outpouring of the second when we have the first. John says it so simply and profoundly in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. God radically changed my life in 1985. I was a lost puppy and he brought me to himself through neighbor. I love much because he loved me much. Unlike that woman who loved much because she'd been forgiven much. Unlike that woman in the Bible. Luke 10:38-42. A lot of our book was written from Luke 10, just so you know. There's so many great passages on neighboring in Luke 10. This is one that, at first glance, really isn't a great scripture on neighboring, but as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We will be anxious and frustrated if we have not spent time with Jesus. That was Martha. Mary had chosen what was better and indeed the only one thing that was really important, which is the university of Jesus' feet, just to be with him, just to be with Jesus at his feet. Mary chose the better thing. When it comes to being a front yard missionary, and that's what we call people who live out the great commandment, when it comes to loving God with all our heart and soul, strength and mind, it's not just a good idea. It's everything. It's where we learn to love and receive the power to love others at the feet of Jesus. Without regularly seeking God in word, worship, and prayer, love for our neighbors will always ring hollow. They're good at sniffing that out. At least my neighbors are. And when we love, it's often self-centered. We want something in return. There's just some kind of ulterior motive often in our love when it's not this pure love, this pure agape love that's come from the work of being with Jesus. The second commandment is always an outflow of the first. We're bad at the first one, not at the second one. See your neighbors differently. If you want to live out a theology of place, see your neighbors differently. Up till this point, my wife and I really hadn't thought a lot about our actual neighbors. We didn't. They were just kind of the people whose garage doors went up in the morning and they drove out, and at the end of the day, their garage doors opened up again and they drove in. We didn't really think a whole lot about them. We stayed out of their way and they stayed out of our way and we just lived our lives. But when we read the scripture in Acts 17 that God had strategically placed us, we chose to believe that God had placed us where we were in this time in history so that men and women might reach out to him and perhaps find him, we began to think differently about our neighbors. There's a scripture in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Not only are you and I who follow Jesus his workmanship, but our neighbors are at worst potential workmanship. The word there is, the Greek word there for workmanship is poema. It's masterpiece or poem. We're God's poetry, right? We're God's poetry. We're something beautiful that God has created. And most of my neighbors are not Christ followers, but they have been made in his image, just currently unredeemed. Michelangelo, you've probably heard of that guy, was one day pushing a big rock up an incline to his house, his place that he lived. And his neighbors said, "Michelangelo, why do you labor so hard over that ugly piece of rock?" And Michelangelo said, "Because there is an angel inside that wants to come out." And it's rumored that as he chiseled away for 2 years, he would yell at the marble. He would yell, "David, come out. David, come out." And David eventually did come out. And it was probably Michelangelo's greatest masterpiece. Our neighbors, our coworkers, our people that we live life with, are potential poema. They're God's potential masterpieces. They're made in his image. Maybe that makes them masterpieces already. So we stopped getting angry at our neighbors, and we started to see them differently. Matthew 9:36-38, when he saw the crowds, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. This is, you know, we know passion means to suffer, right? We think of the Passion Week of Jesus. Co or compassion means to be a co-sufferer. He had compassion for them. He was co-suffering with them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's another way we saw our neighbors. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We stopped getting angry at how they lived, and we started to see them as poema and helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Potential poema. Beyond that, we saw them as future workers in the harvest field with us. We saw what could be, not just what was, what could be. And this whole process actually again, made me quit my job as a pastor, a longtime pastor in the CMA, and to serve the church in this way. See your neighbors differently. Here's another one. Live incarnationally. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word dwelt there in John 1:14. It's the Greek word is askenesin, right? And it simply means that Jesus lived with us. He got in the dirt with us. Jesus came to be with us. He hurt like us. He hurt with us. He gave us the ministry of with, the ministry of His presence. The Message translates it as Jesus moved into the neighborhood. When I think about Jesus, one of the things that I think about the most is when I'm in pain, when I'm struggling, when I'm hurting, is not so much Jesus, take away the pain in my life, but more, Jesus, be with me. Jesus, be with me. Yeah, I pray for healing. But when I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, the most comforting thing for me is not that God saves them from the fire, but that Jesus was the fourth man in the fire with them in that trial. That's the most comforting thought to me. Has anyone ever loved you like that? Has anyone loved you in the dirt, sat down in the dirt with you in your worst moment, the dark night of your soul? You will do anything for them. Once they do that for you, you will do anything for them. 2005, I got into a really bad car wreck, head-on car wreck, and I woke up. And my truck was upside down. I was hanging from the seatbelt, and they were cutting me out with the jaws of life. And my first thought, as I had just blood everywhere dripping down me, wasn't, am I going to die? That wasn't my first thought. My first conscious thought when I woke up was, dear God, did I kill somebody? And lifelike came and took a teenage girl away that was in the other car and flew her to Danville. And I was rushed to the hospital, and I had some brain trauma, and I had amnesia. So I had what's called retrograde amnesia. And so I could not remember anything that happened that day or even that week leading up to it. And so they don't tell you anything. Like, the girl ended up being fine, spoiler alert. But the whole time I thought, what will happen if she dies? The blood will be on my hands. And I can't contain, I just can't take the thought of me taking someone's life. I don't think I could live that way. And my wife did a really smart thing. She called my best friend Ron in Indiana. And his kids, he's got four kids, and for whatever reason, they love me. Kids are usually scared of me because I'm bald. But he had his little 7-8-year-old girl, Heidi, call me. And Heidi just adores me. And Heidi called, and all she said was, Jonathan, I am so sorry, and she just cried with me for 10 minutes. Said nothing, but she sobbed with me, and I sobbed. Heidi's a full-grown, married adult now, and I am Team Heidi, always and forever. I will do anything for that girl, because she was with me in the darkest moments of my life. I am Team Heidi forever. A lot of loving our neighbor is being with them when the rain comes. You know, we read in Matthew 7 that, you know, we read about foundation, right? Sand and firm foundation. We just sang about it. And it's not a matter of if the rain and storms come, but when. We're all going to go through hellacious times in our life. And will we be there? Will we be there? Will we be like Heidi, who was there for me in my darkest moment? The more that we pray and love and share the love of Christ with people, we will start to build the puzzle of their life. We'll be puzzle pieces in their life. Some of us will be corners for somebody else's life. Some of us will be puzzle piece number 785 when we're just a piece of sky. Some of us will be edges and corners. But when we love our neighbor, it's slow. It's crock pot, not microwave evangelism. It's slow. But we form people through the Great Commandment. I want to show you this video, and we're almost done. I want to show you this video of Mr. Rogers receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. So check that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best neighbor any of us has ever had, Fred Rogers. For giving generation upon generation of children confidence in themselves, for being their friend, for telling them again and again and again that they are special and that they have worth. It is my honor on behalf of everyone here and on behalf of the millions of children whose mornings you have brightened with your kindness to present you with this Lifetime Achievement Award.
It's a beautiful night in this neighborhood. So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are. Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. You know the kind of people television does well to offer our world. Special thanks to my family and friends and to my co-workers in public broadcasting, family communications, and this academy for encouraging me, allowing me all these years to be your neighbor. May God be with you. Thank you very much.
Did you think of somebody? Yeah, me too. I like the idea of loving people into existence, loving people into God's kingdom. 3 years ago, I was at a party, and I'm an extreme extrovert. I don't know if you grabbed that yet. I love people, and I didn't know anybody at this party. So I just said to the guy next to me, I said, hey, I don't know anyone here, so I'm going to try a social experiment. I said, the next guy that walks in, I'm going to hug them, and I'm going to whisper into their ear, I love you and I miss you, man. And I just said, let's see what chaos ensues. So this big guy walks in, and I hug him, and I whisper in his ear, I love you and I miss you, man. And he pushes me away, which is the correct response, right? Like, I get that. And he looks at me for a second, and he's from an hour away. I'm from State College. He's from Du Bois. I find out later. And he just says, wait here 1 second. And I'm like, oh, no, he's getting the police. Most of my life is, oh, no, they're calling the police on me. That's a lot of my life. And he brings his wife over, and she's just a short blonde lady. And he positions her right in front of me, and he says, honey, I think this is Jonathan. She jumps into my arms, and she starts hugging me, and she says, I love you, I love you, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I push her away. And she proceeds to tell me that years ago, when she was in junior high, my band came to her town, and she said it was a transformative night for her. As a junior high girl, she gave her life to Jesus that night. And she listened to my music for 5 years, and she said she made a decision to go into music full-time because of it. And she got her degree in music performance, and she said, today I front an indie Christian band. She said, I've been looking for you for 25 years. And that's not a humble brag on me, trust me. Like, my thought about this is maybe a little different than what you might be thinking. That story has lived with me every day for the last 3 years of my life. It's one of those stories of, I had no idea I had any influence on her. I didn't know who she was. And I wonder, as we're loving people in existence, that one day when we're in heaven, I don't know, this might be heresy, so I'll just say that plainly. I don't know what heaven's going to be like exactly, but I wonder if in heaven all the dots of our life are going to be connected. And the people who helped love us and get us to where we are in heaven, we'll know them, even though we never knew them in this world. We'll know them, and we'll be able to hug them and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And people that we've done that for, who they never knew us on earth, will do the same. I love you, I love you, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God has put you where you are to influence and love people into existence, primarily through prayer, praying for them, loving them, and inviting them in the kingdom. Let's stand and pray, and we'll sing one more song. God, thank you that you placed us exactly where we are. Our home, our workplace, our life, where we do life. To love people, to pray for people, and to invite them into the kingdom. God, show us and reveal us, reveal to us those people. God, do all the work we'll just be faithful to be there. Just to be there. Lord, we want to love you. Lord, we want to ooze Jesus wherever we go. We want to pour out Christ to the nations and to the neighbors. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill us. Let us be people who change the atmosphere, not because of us, but because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as we watched, just as we heard from Jonathan, as we heard in God's word right now and encouraged, can you just take a second? Just think of those names for a minute. Close your eyes for a second. Let's do that together. What names pop to mind? What neighbors? What friends? What family? Maybe there's even broken relationship in there to reconcile. Maybe it's someone at work, at school. Maybe even in our church. Who's God calling you to? Lord, we want to bring it to you right now. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, all powerful, all wondrous, and there's nothing you can't do. you're calling us to go deeper. You're calling us to reach out. You're calling us to open our arms, even our homes, to prepare the table just as you did with your disciples. To unify through your love, through your grace, through your mercy. Would you help us to bring it to you right now? You know what names are on our hearts and minds. You know what's written. We bring it to you, Jesus. Have your way. Let's sing it for them. Let's sing it for the names. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Lift up those names. Come on. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Come on, sing it in faith. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great. Nothing else fit for a king. except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Can we give him some praise tonight one more time? Come on, the loudest roar tonight.
All of Scripture is God's Word, right? We'll affirm that Jesus is God, right? That's a yes. So, somebody came up to God and said, what is the most important thing that you've ever said? Was it, let there be light? Was it, for God so loved the world that he gave his own? What is the most important thing that you've ever said, God? And he said, love God and love people. What is the greatest commandment you've ever given? And so what we do here, what Jonathan is declaring to us, is the opportunity to change lives. And what we do with this time and what we do with these messages can have an eternal impact forever. And so begin praying for somebody tonight. You know, whether or not they speak a different language, whether or not, you know, Ni hao, hola, vibishtu, right? Like, it matters not. Start praying for somebody tonight so that we can see them in heaven and they say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jonathan, thank you, brother. Thank you. Please be aware, we are closing our service now. Eric, dude, you are killing it, dude. Killing it. So, thank you, brother, for bringing the music and bringing the spirit. So, thanks. Snack Shack is open. Please be aware, 7:30 a.m. we have our prayer meeting. Breakfast is served at 8. Then we have Bible hours starting at 9:30 here. And then followed by that, we have our lovely IWs. So we can't wait to hear what God is doing. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great night. See you soon.